talk about whether Christians are perfect or not, which some people are going to go, well, you know, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, we'll deal with that in a second. First, we have to deal with the reality check, and today is April 1st, for those that don't know, and that's April Fool's Day. So for those that are like, you can't talk about April Fool's Day, that's a pagan holiday. Okay, you turn off the radio right now, okay? This show's not for you. Okay? All right. See how easy I deal with criticism? Get out.
That's how I deal with it.
For those that have a good time but know not to go too crazy on this, it's just fun. It can be fun. So I'll tell you what some of the history is. Not the actual history, just some of the funny things people have done. Plus what happened to me and then also what I did. Okay. 1957, the BBC reported that Swiss farmers were experiencing a record spaghetti crop and showed footage of people harvesting noodles from trees. How's that for an April Fool's joke? That's pretty funny. In 1985, Sports Illustrated tricked many of its readers when it ran a made-up article about a rookie pitcher named Sid Finch, who could throw a fastball over 168 miles an hour. So if you know baseball, that's great. 1996, Taco Bell, fast food restaurant chain, duped people and announced it agreed to purchase Philadelphia's Liberty Bell and intended to rename it the Taco Liberty Bell.
That is so good.
And in 1998, Burger King, which may not make it another 5 years, Burger King advertised a left-handed Whopper. See, that's funny. See, that's funny, people. That's humorous. Ha! Huh? Puts a smile on your face for a Monday. Ha! Huh? Here's another thing that happened to moi. If you don't know who moi is, that's me. I'm moi. Anytime you hear me use the French moi, I don't even know if it's French. It's just me. So a friend of mine and I were living in Phoenix, Arizona, and I had recently been able to purchase a vehicle. And so we were talking, and we read an article in the Phoenix whatever newspaper. I don't know if it's a Phoenix Gazette or this. It wasn't the Roadrunner, but something else. And right on there, they showed Camelback Mountain. So if you're familiar with Phoenix at all, Camelback Mountain is kind of like a central mountain to the whole city. And it's this – it looks like a camel laying down on its all fours. So they call it Camelback Mountain. And they showed – and they had this whole full-page report on Camelback Mountain. And it was – it's really a large mountain. And they showed cars going in and out of it. And they said they had just opened up the tunnel. And where I was like, what? How could they put a tunnel there? And so we hopped in the car and we drove to where the tunnel was supposed to be, but there was no tunnel. And then we drove to the other side where the tunnel was supposed to exit, and there was no tunnel. So we get back to my house, and my mother, whom I love. I love my mom. She's passed on, but I love her. We've had a fantastic relationship. She goes, where you been? I said, we were trying to find the tunnel in Camelback Mountain. And she looked at me. And she said, what's the date? And I said, I don't know, April 1st. And she goes, how fitting. How fitting? What does that mean? That means there was no tunnel. That's what that means. It was a joke. I'm one of the people that completely fell for the joke. I didn't say I was smart. I just said I'm adventurous. Okay, so in payback to that, to my own children, I feel it's important for parents to be able to carry on traditions of humiliating their children at certain points in certain ways that are fun. This was something that my wife and I did that we thought was just absolutely fantastic. As their mom and their dad, what could be more confusing to adult children's to adult children than calling them up on the 30th of March after they're all post 25 and saying, your mom is pregnant. Now, let me tell you, We had a backstory. We had a front story. We had a whole story. And at first, there was just nothing but utter disbelief. But we stayed into our – we stayed true to our acting. And for those that say, that's a lie, it's not a lie. It's a joke. And here's what happened. They were going to move out and move in with us and help us raise the child. And we kept this up for about 2 hours. And just waited. And it was that point that I was feeling bad because they really wanted to support us. I felt horrible. But it was a joke and we were into it too deep. So then when we told them, there was somewhat of a disappointment. Of course, I think that's why they started to have their own kids. But the bottom line is, I did that to them, and then I said, April Fool's. And then they all said the same thing. It's the 30th. It's not April 1st. I said, that's what makes it even funnier. I don't think any of them after that stayed on the phone longer than about a 15th of a second.
I like that they didn't trust you and your wife to raise another child.
Well, they needed to help us because of the disaster we had with the three. They all turned out great, depending on what your definition of great is. Just saying, don't get mad at me. I think it's funny. So we had to pull that one back. And now they have offered not revenge, because I don't want you to get that wrong impression about my kids, not revenge, retaliation. That's what they have offered. They don't believe in revenge. They believe in retaliation. So each child that told me that they were pregnant, I thought they're lying, right? Because that was mine. But they were not lying. So just in case you're wondering, I'm still looking over my shoulder every time we get around April 1st. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, and then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Wow, what a roof!
It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, He's been good to me.
Doesn't he know there's a lot of cholesterol in lard? I'm losing it here. What? The lard? What is that guy? Where is he from?
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy, too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own commercial commercial whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second commercial whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own commercial whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A couple ways to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Facebook can go to David Spoon, David Spoon Media. Actually, David Spoon Media is probably easier. Website, davidspoon.com. And you go to YouTube, David Spoon Media, and see some of the different not just the videos that have to do with the show, but some of the commentary videos that I've done. I have done a few of them. I've done six of them. One of them's on the Green Deal. One of them's on the wall. One of them's on whether you can support or if you don't like Donald Trump and you're a Democrat, how do you approach that or how you handle that? Another one has to do – I mean, they're just all over the place with climate change. Keep in mind in some of these, it's really important to understand. And, oh, one's on racism. That's the one we did on Friday. Now, a lot of people were freaking out because we did, oh my, on racism. It's like, yeah. Okay, so Galatians chapter 3, 25, 26, 27, 28. There's no, there is no male nor female. There is no black or white. There is no anything, Jew nor Gentile in Christ. But that's in reference to salvation. I just want to make sure everybody understands that that's not sexuality. So people that have the inappropriate sexuality, incorrect sexuality, are thinking, well, see, everybody's one in Christ. Only in relationship to salvation. But when it comes to racism, there was a church in Savannah, Georgia, that didn't allow white reporters or white people to attend a meeting. It's like you just look at that and you go, how is that not the epitome of racism? I'll make this really easy for you. And I mentioned this to somebody. If you see everything in your life through the glasses of you being a liberal, then you are a liberal. If you see everything in your life through the glasses of you being a conservative, then you are a conservative. If you see everything through the glasses of Jesus Christ, then you're a Christian. And if you see everything through the glasses of racism, you're a racist. It's just so simple. It's not complex. So we kind of deal with that and kind of go after that for a little bit. I mean, it's important because people need to grasp what's going on. You can, I mean, God, you think, well, that action from that Christian, it's racist. God doesn't support racism. God was one that created all the different races. So the idea that the Lord is like racist or Christianity is racist, it's just like you do understand that we believe that God created everybody, right? I mean, you understand that, right? Now, are people racist? Of course people are racist. Of course people are inappropriate. Of course people are incorrect in a lot of different ways. But that's because we're sinful people. It's a sin problem, not a skin problem. Okay? That's not complex, is it? I don't think so. All right. Let's go into King David. Now, I tell people on a regular basis, they say, well, what's your name? My name is David Spoon. David, named after a king. That is not true. It's just a good line. It's just like I say I'm named after a king. Why? Because King David was an awesome king. On the three majors, we call them the three majors, you had Saul, and then you had King David, then you had Solomon, right? And David was passionate. I think passionate's a really good word. Passionate for the Lord. But he was also honest. He had times where he wanted to fly away. Psalm 55, my brother actually wrote a song about this, about wanting to fly away and just be at rest and, like, have nobody say anything anywhere. Just stick your fingers in your ears and go, blah, 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 so you don't have to hear anything. Well, when people read the Psalms, there's an amazing element that takes place is you can identify with the ups and the downs of the author. Why? Well, because he's human. He loves God. He's having some problems. He's having some struggles. And David had a phenomenal connection to God. He just had a phenomenal connection. And in that connection, God granted him some amazing results. You know, James Robison wrote a book called Living Amazed, a great book to read if you're trying to see what kind of results can be in your life just by staying connected to the Lord and at least being willing, even if the Lord changes you in a theological sense, that you're willing just to follow the Lord. This is not about your and my theology. This is about following the Lord. I mean, no matter what your theological conviction, if the Lord came to you and said, I want you to change how you say this, or I want you to change how you look at this, or I want you to add this, or I want you to take it, would you tell him no because your theology is more important than your connection to him? Of course not. No way. So here's King David, and he's just, you know, he's doing pretty well. Psalm 18:14, in everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. That's a dude that's doing it. All right. He's got it going on, right? I mean, he's winning. He's doing fantastic. And he increased in his position and his power. Remember, David was a shepherd, the youngest of his brethren, so to speak. His three older brothers were warriors. He was just like, I'm watching the sheep. I'm just telling you, put that on a resume. What'd you do? Watched sheep. Watched sheep do what? And you're missing a number in your Social Security. It's like there's not a lot there. Kind of like the guy when he, Tom Hanks, when he in the movie Big. You're missing Social Security. Uh-huh. Okay. Here's the bottom line. 2 Samuel 5, 9 through 10. David took up residence in the fortress, and it was called the City of David. He built up the area around it from the terraces inward, and he became more and more powerful. What happened to David is God granted him favor. He didn't have a social media win. He didn't have an event that got replayed on television. He didn't have a radio show. He didn't have anything except he had the most important element. He had a connection to God. You know, the Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or west. And you think, well, what about all these people with social media? None of that lasts. Well, here we are, thousands of years later, still talking about King David. That's impressive. So he's becoming more and more and more and more powerful. What happens when he becomes too powerful? He starts getting a little bit of full of himself. And he got controlly. Now you're sitting there thinking, well, there's no such word as controlly. Oh, yes, there is. In the kingdom of God, there's a word called controlly. It's when you try to control E and it doesn't work, right? It's just you trying to run it. Well, David got that way. 2 Samuel 11, he had seen, he was at the, it says at the time when kings went away to war, he was on his terrace, on his roof area, and he saw Bathsheba and he decided, up, I want her. After all, I'm the king. Some people say she was complicit in this process. Tough to think that if the king called you, you wouldn't respond. Just really not honest. Even now, if the country called upon you, you'd respond. Imagine how much more that back then, if you didn't respond, they'd cut your head off. So David has sex with Bathsheba. Sex! You said the word sex on radio. That was Uriah the Hittite's wife. Uriah the Hittite was one of the 30, one of the great men of David. So I made a short list of David's sins in this process. Because remember, it wasn't just the sin of not being about what he should have been about. It was that he was looking at another man's wife. There's a whole bunch of things going on here. So let's just list them real quick. One, he should have been about the king's business because the kings were off to war. It was that season. Two, he lusted after another man's wife. Three, he involved others in his folly. Four, he had a forced sexual encounter, which could be considered rape. Five, he committed adultery. Six, he used deception and asking probing questions. He was a liar. Seven, he tried to manipulate Uriah with inappropriate actions. He got him drunk and thought that the guy would go home and sleep with his wife, and then wouldn't be a problem because after David slept with Bathsheba, she got pregnant. The rabbit died. So he just tried to pawn it off on Uriah. because Uriah did it. Here's the problem. Uriah, after drinking with the king, slept on the mat out where the other people were, wouldn't go home and enjoy that his own family comfort because his own regiment was not enjoying anything. So you tried to manipulate Uriah into inappropriate actions. He got Uriah drunk. Nobody even talks about that. Dan was like, here, drink this. This isn't the wine you're drinking. This is the wine I'm drinking. I'm the king. Try this stuff. Bam. And then he ordered an assassination and had Uriah killed. And then he lied about everything. It's a lot of sins for very little. So God confronted him. Right? 2 Samuel 12, 5 through 7. Nathan told him this whole story about a guy and his lamb, and David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this kind of thing, he must die. He must pay for the lamb four times over. He did such a bad thing and had no pity. Nathan said to David, you are the man. How'd you like that? You did it, dude. What did David say? David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. You know what he didn't do? He didn't go, I'm the king. I can do what I want. Yeah, I'm going to take my ball and go home. That's not what he did. What he did was he said, I did it. I'm bad. I did the wrong thing. And this is what's leading us into whether Christians are perfect or not. Guess what? You could be somebody closely connected to the Lord. You can be right there, right at the border, really close. And guess what you can do? Mess up just like David. So when we come back, we need to look at that and be honest about that and see where it comes and where it leads us to as Christians. You're listening to the David Swoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
A big portion of being guided is asking, prayer, when you're praying with people, fellowship amongst other people can lead you to guidance. It's happened on more than one occasion for me. Counsel is obviously very good, both spiritual and not necessarily biblical. Also, practical counsel is good. Circumstances often speak to us and give us guidance. Open doors, or for that fact, closed doors. We know his word gives us guidance. We know in 2 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, Paul said that he used peace of mind as an aspect of guidance. These are all the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us is, of course, the number one element for guidance is to be led by the Spirit, right? These are all hugely important.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia at gmail.com. You can go to Facebook, YouTube. You can go to Twitter. You can do whatever you want. You can send a letter to the station. Do whatever you're comfortable with. You can just listen. Whatever works for you. We're discussing, and the reason I'm going right into it is because of how deep it is. We're discussing King David. And King David was phenomenal as a believer. I'm pretty sure most of us wish we could have anything like that. He had an enormous bounty of the Holy Spirit in his life. He was used mightily by God. He was a king for 40 years and a good king. He did wonders. I mean, just the story of Goliath by itself, if you get into it, Goliath had to be at least 9'2", if not 9'6". Do you know how big that is? I always tell people this because it gives you a kind of a current thought process. Think of how big Shaquille O'Neal is, then add 2 feet. Yeah, wow. Right? Against a shepherd boy. You think, well, why did he have 5 rocks instead of one? Well, one of the reasons is because you should always have preparation, but the other reason is that Goliath had 4 brothers. So for those that don't know that, good to know, huh? Here's the other thing, though. He was doing so great, and as he's working his way up and doing better, he gets a little more power and a little more power. And as is often the case, when you get a little too much power or when you stop seeing yourself as little, then you start exercising what you think becomes right and righteous. So when David decided to sleep with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, he was taking license in his position. It was a terrible sin. God called him on it, and David owned it immediately. Big difference between David and Saul. When Saul sinned, he tried to justify it. When David sinned, he owned it. It's like, yeah, I did that. But that's bad. And if you think about how Christians are and where they're at, that's why I wanted to ask this question. Are Christians perfect? And we're going to use the passage that speaks to that and talk about the Greek. But I want you to understand that when you're saying, well, you're comparing David to us as Christians. Right. I think if you think you're closer to God than King David was, you've lost your mind. The brick fell off. The straw is out. There's something wrong. Because this is a guy that was in the position of king and wrote the Psalms. Could you have written the Psalms? I'm going to go, no. I couldn't have done it. I mean, that guy, wow. And he had the ups and he had the downs and he wrote it. And he was just deeply connected and passionate about the Lord. Just think of the Psalms in the 40. That his, when he says, my heart pants after, thirsts after the Lord. My soul thirsts after the Lord like a deer thirsts after water. Like, I want 1/10 of that in my life. And people think, well, you're pretty arrogant. Yep. You're right. I'm way too arrogant. I have way too many things in my background and way too many things I've gone through. I'm superbly arrogant. I come before the Lord and I say I'm superbly arrogant because I'm an idiot. And then he loves me and says, yeah, well, you're my idiot. And that helps. That stopped me from being an idiot only a little. But it's so much better now than it was before. That's all I got for you. So he's working on me. Right? So what about the Christian? I mean, we're supposed to be perfect. That's what the world says. And there's even a passage that makes reference to us being Christian. Now, I'm going to open this up to a little deeper discussion, so I hope you're prepared for this. Here's what it says in Matthew, okay? Matthew chapter 44 to 48. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. That's tough politically, isn't it? He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so what will happen, that's a passage in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. We'll have people will say, well, see, Christians are supposed to be perfect. Okay, A, you missed it. I mean completely. And B, the idea, first of all of us, now we know politically that conservative, Bible-believing, born-again Christians, they're right, more right than they are left. I'd rather be right than left. Get it? That's good for the rapture. Get it? Than left. And then the other part of that is to be aware that there's rains on the just and the unjust. And if you're only friendly with people who are just like you, then that's not the point. Jesus wants us to go beyond that. You're supposed to love your enemies. That's really hard. It's impossible without the Holy Spirit. I don't even know why people think they can do it. But I want to talk about that perfection element, because I think what people think is that's a moral perfection, which means completely abstaining and sinless. It doesn't mean that at all. It's the same Greek word as the Hebrew word for Job, where it says that Job is perfect. The word is mature, complete. In fact, in the Greek, it's teleos. You blow your mind when I tell you where this word comes from. It's teleos. Teleos. It means having reached an end, complete in all parts, full grown, full age, completeness. Guess where the word comes from? It's the coolest thing. It has to do with the root word reaching the end, which is illustrated with a telescope that extends out for better vision. And when you can't move it out any farther, you have teleosed it. It's like, wow, that's so cool. Now, for us, you'd have to think of a pirate because pirates had those, you know, they'd pull them out and whatever. But the idea is for Christians to have all of these characteristics and then pull it out so that it's complete, so that you've gotten as far as you can until the end. And in reference to what Jesus was talking about specifically, just so you can understand, he had just talked about 8 topics: salt and light, the law, anger, adultery, divorce, vows, revenge, and enemies. And he said, you got to be complete. You got to be perfect in the sense of completed in all of these. And you never stop. Now, the irony behind that is he's well aware your righteousness and my righteousness will never reach that point where we're qualifying. But you have to have a target. You have to have a goal. And the goal is to be Christ-like. And here he just gives us 1 chapter, 8 things. And he's like, work on those. Let's see how you do. Wow, we're going to do terrible. Right. But you keep pursuing it because this is how your Heavenly Father is, and you and I need to telescope it out, get that full maturity, get that full range going. And it's important to grasp that. I mean, this word is originally applied to a piece of mechanism as a machine that's complete in its parts. Hey, you are not allowed in the Christian walk to be to have parts and to be – well, here's the best way to say it. You're not allowed to be a part-time Christian in part-time areas. You're called to be a Christian in all those areas. And at the end of the day, when you come before the Lord and you know, or in the beginning of the day, when you come before the Lord, or in the middle of the day, when you come, I don't care when you come before the Lord time-wise, just come before the Lord. And when you do, you need to be honest and you need to own it. Just like King David, you know, were you telescoped today? Did you handle salt and light, law, anger, adultery, divorce, vows, revenge, and enemies in all its completeness? And if you didn't, say no. I need Jesus Christ and his righteousness, because I'm falling short. And that's the problem right there, is that Christians don't respond to the world when the world says, oh, you're supposed to be perfect. Well, Christians don't even understand what that means, let alone to be able to refute that. You are supposed to be mature. You are supposed to be complete. And you do fall short. That's why we have something called imputed and imparted righteousness. Imputed righteousness means I give it to you. You don't actually have it, but in my mind you have it. Imparted is completely different. That's like somebody saying, here's a gun, and you have a gun in your hand. I'm trying to use an illustration where you actually physically have it. Impartation means you actually have it. Imputation means that you have it in the person's mind who gave it to you. Well, in God's mind, he has imputed righteousness to you through Jesus Christ. Because attaining that righteousness on your own ain't going to happen. So let's answer the question, because when we come back, I want to dig into it, like, really dig into it. But are Christians perfect? No. Christians aren't perfect. They're forgiven. But they know they're forgiven. And that forgiveness makes them perfect in the eyes of God. That's the key. What God sees when he sees – I love this example. I don't know why people get so upset about it. Jesus – When Jesus sacrificed for you and died for you and you acknowledge that testimony, God put down the glasses that he was looking at, put on another pair of glasses, and when he sees you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So he sees this righteous person because the blood of Jesus is all over those glasses. And you think, well, that's really gross. Brother, without that, sister, without that, you're going to hell. How about that? If you think that's gross, how about where people end up? When they reject the gospel, that's gross. So are Christians perfect? No, practically they are not. Positionally they are. That's the difference between justification and sanctification. But in sanctification, do you got to be sorry for your sin? Yes, because you did it. And you got to go, oops, that was bad. I mean, do you want your child, who you love no matter what, to go, I didn't do it? Set the house on fire? What you talking about, Dad? Okay, well, we'll just ignore the match that's in your hand. Okay, son? Get it? All right. Short break. We're going to come back and dig into the forgiveness. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience.
But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then it was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know, so. you're still teaching a lot of people. So thank you.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to reach this show. Just jump outside your house right now and say, hey, David. I won't be there, but it could be Amazon delivering whatever it is you ordered. Shout out to Jared, my son-in-law. So this Saturday, he's getting ordained, and we had made all these plans to coordinate that, and then the radio show happened. So guess where I'm not going? I'm not driving to see him get ordained, which I'm bummed. You know, I'm trying to figure out from my daughter, who's not, you know, the whole daughter-son thing. It's like, respond. Is this going to be live streaming? So at least we can see it. So anyway, I'm very proud of him. Very blessed to have him as my son-in-law. He's a great son-in-law. Couldn't ask for anything better. I mean, if he had $1,000,000,000, I guess I could put a little money towards the... That's a joke. I'd rather have a good son-in-law than a wealthy son-in-law who's a Michigana. Trust me. We are. So good job on his part. And congratulations up and coming. So we're talking about Christians. We were talking about King David and his love for the Lord, desire to be close to the Lord, connected to the Lord, his writings, his actions, his successes. And then he had a huge failure. And then we kind of related that, and then his quick ownership of what he didn't do well in, and then we related that to Christians and understanding the difference between position and practicality. Your position is you are saved. Your practicality is you are being saved. That which God has pronounced you as saved, he is working out in your life. That's when you read scripture and you're saying, well, why is this passage talking about salvation in the past tense, like Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and this passage, like in Peter's talking about it in future tense, and this passage in Corinthians is talking about it in present tense. And that's because in the past you were justified, in the present you're being sanctified, in the future you will be glorified. In the past, you are justified from the penalty of sin. In the present, you are being freed and operating in the power over sin, and you're learning that you do have power over sin. And in the future, you will be free from the presence of sin. And that's why you have the three different tenses going on in salvation. So the question is, really, are Christians aren't Christians perfect? Well, yes, no, and in the future. it's kind of like the answer that people don't like it. It's like, too bad. You know, the idea is not for your Christianity to line up with the world. Okay, that's not in there. Okay, it's not your job for your faith to be pleasing to people who hate Jesus. Okay, your Christianity is you and the Lord and him making you reflect Jesus Christ. And some people will love it in the world and become Christians, and some people will hate it and reject God and spend eternity in hell. H-E double hockey sticks. That's where it's going to be. And you think, well, hell is just a theoretical place, because nowhere in the New Testament, the buffoonery just cannot keep going. Every time Jesus talks about hell, he makes reference to the city, the cesspool for the city, where the fire never is extinguished. It's like, you're right. He added that because he had nothing else to add.
Was he bored?
Just came up with a couple more words to throw in there. So the idea is, if you don't tell your neighbor, that is a lack of love because you don't want anybody going to hell. That's horrible. Spending eternity in a cesspool. There's a good understanding, too, when we get into the theology of it, that hell would be really difficult or heaven would be difficult for people who have rejected God, because they would be spending eternity with God, and they've already rejected him, don't want to be with him, yet they're going to spend eternity with him. That would be hell, too. So there's a lot of different elements in play. But let's stick with what we're talking about in this subject. Are you perfect? Well, positionally. Are you perfect practically? No. Until you've overcome every single sin. And if you sin, what ought you to do? I don't know. What did King David do? Oops. That was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. When a husband and wife are fighting, I know they don't, Christian marriages don't fight. That was a joke. So Christians in marriage don't fight. when a husband and wife are fighting, it's usually when not just compromise, but somebody's acknowledging, all right, yeah, I got to do that better. All right, yeah, we got to work on this. Or, yeah, I got. It's this position that you take. It has to do with humility. It has to do with yielding. It has to do with working it out together. And you think, well, you know, the husband is always right. No, he's not. Have you read the Bible? The husband's not always right. Well, it says he's supposed to rule his own household. It says he's supposed to manage his own household. If you're from England and you use the word rule, it means manage. People ruled their business. They managed them. There's a big difference there. And then we'll talk about positions and things like that a little later on. What I really want you to focus in on is you're not perfect in regards to the understanding of the world. So when somebody says, well, aren't you supposed to be perfect? Like, no, I'm forgiven. Well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is that I accept that God loves me as a father, a perfect father, and that he cares about me. And that I can do a lot of dumb things, and he still loves me. Now I want you to think about your own children. Some of you are just like, oh, I just can't relate. I don't have children. Yeah, but you have a dog. I'm just saying, and I don't mean that rudely, but you have a dog, and your dog does something, makes a mistake in your house. You don't sit there and zap them with a taser. Right? You go, oh, can't believe you did that in the middle of the living room. And then you clean it up, and then you try and teach your dog the right way. You're right. Exactly. Scooby-Doo it. And you don't sit there and go, you're no longer my dog. I shun thee. First of all, the dog didn't even know what you're talking about. What? What? You shun me? Okay, fine. Where's my food? He doesn't care. And second of all, if we are eaten, Jesus said it clearly, Matthew 7, if you, being evil, know how to do some decent things, how much more your heavenly Father? So your Father loves you and he forgives you. And you think, yeah, okay, Dave, but here's the truth. I keep struggling with this sin. I can't seem to get through it, whether it's pride or whether it's connected to vices or whether it's connected to some character flaw or anger, which a lot of people have. I mean, I just can't get through it. Here's a newsflash that will really help you. God knows about that sin. He still chose you. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, which means before you got into your yuckiness, he still picked you. Your job is not to be the perfect. It's to be available. Because God can use anybody and will use them if they present themselves to tell somebody else about his love. The world doesn't understand because everything's sided. Left side, right side. Winning side, losing side. See, that's the problem. There's pride in that. Our side won today. Ha ha, we had a good report.
Just think about how dumb that is.
Our side's going to really get blasted when they come up with this about the report. When they take verse 3 and verse 19 and slap them together, then they're going to hear it all over the news, and we're going to have to fight our way. Aren't you supposed to be for the kingdom of God first? Well, this is the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about America and the kingdom of God tomorrow. The kingdom of God is where God is king. That didn't just start in 1776. Come on. Don't do that. That's what an insult. Here's the bottom line. You're not perfect. You're forgiven. Communicate that. Say that. Know that. No. You're not going to do it right. No, you won't always say it's right. In fact, it's my worst points and my dumbest things that God does the most through. That's what I find amazing. But that's when I know it's got nothing to do with me and everything to do with him doing it. Isn't that the coolest? Then you act like it's all you. That's what I do. That's right. I said that to you. And then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, I don't even remember saying that. Yeah, you do that too. Are you kidding? All right, so here's the deal. The deal is you want to be like King David, right? If the Lord confronts you, own it. If it's humble pie, eat it. Don't fight it. Just yield to it, because you know who's in charge? He is. And nobody is going to get away with anything. And if you're not covered in the blood of Jesus, it's going to be a disaster. My friend, before you perish eternally, make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or it's going to be ugh and lee. Got it? That's really important. All right, tomorrow we're going to cover a little bit on America and Christianity. And I know we have different authors and different people on different shows saying different things. I'm going to give you my take, and you're welcome to use it or not use it, however it helps you. Let all of it be a blessing. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short 23-hour break, then come back for more Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.